Blog Talk Radio. above all powers and principalities. In the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, I want to be with you, Lord. Hey, in that place where you and I can reason together, Lord, yeah. I come to the garden alone. I go past the gates. I want you to take me beyond the courts into the holy of holies. That's where I want to go. That's where I long to be.
God bless. I know that the music is going on a little longer. I apologize. We have to work on that technical difficulty. This is Rev Kev, Kevin Adams, coming to you from Elam Ministries today with Rev Kev, Word of Encouragement. This music is stopping in a minute. My word today is how much love is in you. I pray the music will stop in a few minutes. You can hear me clearly. I appreciate everyone's patience, anyone that came on the line today. I pray that what I say and the words I speak would be encouraging to someone, that they would lead them to make a change in their thinking, a change in possibly in their life. Would there be an encouragement, a real encouragement to someone today? The scripture that I'll be coming from today would be 1 Corinthians 13. The love chapter. I pray this music is going to stop in a few more minutes so I can go on. Jesus.
In that secret place. In that secret place.
Next week, I'm sure the music will be adjusted so it won't be so long. So I pray, I do appreciate everyone's patience, anyone that's on the line right now, and that excuse the technical difficulties, things happen sometimes, but I pray that you bear with me for the message. I pray that it'll be uplifting and encouraging to all on the line. As I'm saying, the scripture today is 1 Corinthians 13. And I'm going to start to read the anyway and pray the music is going to fade out shortly. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecy, they will pass away. But we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. But now I see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The word love is overused in our society. People say they love so many things. They love to dance. They love to sing. They love to write, act, fight, work, play. And they love what they have. They love their house, their cars, sports, clothes, money, power, attention, and themselves. Is all this really love? I would say, according to the Bible description, that's mostly lust or even like. But these lusts that drive the desire of man. We seem to fall short of the love God has described and prescribed for us. Because the world is constantly trying to get your attention off of God and direct it anywhere else, people are confused about love and call it what it is not. In order to have our lives match up with the love we desire and the love we show is not easy. Our perspective is formed by what we see and what we experience. That's why there's so much dysfunction in our homes, marriages, and society, because the thing we see has no common denominator among the people that use the word. Among the people that want, desire, and need it. Many of our issues, our problems, come from a lack of real love. The first example of love that we see in our lives is usually in our homes, through our parents, or maybe one parent is there, or whoever your guardian, the person that is supposed to be showing you love, taking care of you, nurturing you, feeding you, helping you grow into a better individual. But that doesn't always work out right. Sometimes what we see and we hear exhibited as love is not love. We see people say they love, and we see anger. We see fights. We see abuse. We see drug use. We see misuse. We see so many things, and people say, I did this because I love you, or their understanding of love is messed up. Your parents are people just like you, have come through situations they have never told you or never made you aware of through their parents or guardians, whatever. This thing about love is usually handed down from generation to generation, and it doesn't exactly mean that because it happens, because you see it, that it's correct. The Bible gives us instruction on what love is, as I just mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13. And if you examine that and you think about it, the example of love that we exhibit falls far short of those qualifications, and that everyone may not agree with the Bible. I know I have Muslims that listen. I have Christians. I have other people that listen online. And my point is, like, listen to the essence of the message. If it's nothing that goes against human beings of love and caring for people, just pay attention to the message. Don't worry about the title of whether you're a Christian or a Muslim or whatever, but the point of love is the same. We all suffer and have problems because of lack of it. People get upset and get mad because people don't reciprocate the love they feel in their minds. But people can only give what they have to give. If you've been nurtured in an environment that doesn't example love that is a reciprocation, love that's returned back, you see, love is something that people say that they want, but when it's given to them and it's not by the person they want to have give it to them, they won't receive it. We want the love from our mothers and fathers, and sometimes it doesn't come. And that kind of skewers a lot of people's attitude about what love is and how it should be received, because that's the thing about the Bible that makes it so relevant to me, because it points to each individual, not just your mother, your father, grandmother, and those titles, but as a human being, falling short of God's glory, falling short of the Word of God, because Word of God gives us instruction on how to navigate this life, on how to function in this world, whether we believe it or not. The world offers us so many distractions that sometimes we feel that the Bible and the Word of God is irrelevant, and that it makes no sense in the world we live in right now. But the older we get in the situation we find ourselves in for the sake of love, the things we go after, looking for love, looking for that experience of love that we desire, that we have in our mind, not necessarily prescribed by the Word of God, but the way that we see for self, the way we see love example before us, the way we perceive love, and we go after it, and many times it disappoints because that love is based in a material ideology, or it's based in what you do for me, I want to see it returned. But true love, as in the 1 Corinthians says, expects nothing. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. And it does. It's not prideful. All those things that men mostly are men, and we all have, we picked up the pride. We picked up the arrogance. We picked up the anger. We picked up the things that make us have less patience, even with those in our family, even with our husbands, wives, children. Our love is limited. God's love is endless. That even when we do wrong, even when we sin and we go against God, he still loves us. We've cursed God. We've done things that we know weren't in line with anything good, with the Word of God, with the Bible, with the Quran. We know we've done things that fall short of God's instruction for us. But God hasn't taken our life. You're still living. You're still breathing. You're still having the opportunity to redirect your attitude, to change your thinking. I'm going to stop for a minute right here and just give honor to sponsors. I have to give honor to me and my wife as a couple who care. Oh, for 13 years, we've fed, clothed, ministered, did whatever we can do to better the people around us, to better whoever God brings to us, no matter white, black, no matter what your nationality, what your ethnicity, we've endeavored to help and be a blessing. Also now in conjunction with Eyes Wide Open Ministry and Papa, People of Prayer, Purpose of Peace, led by my brother Ibn Suleiman, and Eyes Wide Open, led by Leonard Ellis in Newark. The actions that I have been taking in my life, not looking forward to when I would get older, and this is the attitude that we all have about love. We have some things that come to, excuse me, when we're younger because of how we look and how we dress, sports, dancing, singing, popularity. And we take that adoration. We take that people that follow us and people that look up to you as love. It's not really love. It's pretty much idolization, and it's like acknowledging things that pretty much hinder your life, because if you get stuck in those feelings of adoration, that attention that you get through the things you can do, through your gifts. God gives each one of us gifts. And he gives those gifts liberally. He blesses all, whether you call yourself whatever you call yourself. We all have gifts and talents and joys and things that we can do to bring people's attention. But we can use that attention for good or for bad. And most of us are falling far short of God's glory and design for my life. Recognizing my own mortality, recognizing that I won't be cute forever. I won't look the same way I look. I won't be able to do things the same way. Sports won't be able to do to run and jump and do the things that bring adoration while you're young. You won't be able to sing the way you want to. You won't be able to do all the things that bring attention to yourself and that bring that love, that so-called word we use, love, to ourselves, that attention. We know that we have to do some grown-up things in order to get grown-up love. And so, you know, the things we choose, the things we do, lead us down a road of anguish and despair, frustration, because everyone wants to be loved, whether they say it or not, whether they acknowledge it in a right way or not. Everyone is seeking love. Everyone wants to be desired. Everybody wants to have somebody that cares about them, no matter what their attitude is, because we all sin and fall short of glory of God. All of us make mistakes. All of us do things that hurt people. So forgiveness is so important in this love thing, because we can say we love somebody, but if you don't forgive them and you secretly harboring anger and resentment toward the person, that's not really love. It's hard for you to love a person and you hold a silent kind of anger. The Word of God for me, as I got to that crossroads moment, recognizing that I won't be able to do all the things that I want to do and all the things that bring me attention, all the things that brought me love and adoration as a youth, and all the things that I kind of built my life around, you know, who I was. You know, Kev, you know, you could do this and you could do that. The things that brought the attention to me start falling away, because as I got older, I found that you got to bring something to the table. You have to have more than just superficial skills. Superficial attention. You have to be able to do a sustaining love, a love that endures, a love that goes through issues and problems and sickness and death and help, that, you know, you can't fade away because things don't go the way you want, because things, you get angry, you get frustrated, because things don't work out the way you planned it. When you come to the realization that God is in charge of your life, And this scripture in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which talks about my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, pray, believe, stop their wicked ways, turn from sin, and believe me, I'm paraphrasing, and seek God with their whole heart, soul, and mind, then he will heal our land. And the word when God was talking about the land, he was talking about the physical land, the land they were in at that point in time, but that also applies to our land. The God, the provision and dominion that God has given us over our personal families, our personal dominion, the personal spirit of influence, that when we humble ourselves, seek his face, pray, that he healed our land. And I had to do that. I had to come to God humbly, recognizing that the things I was doing weren't pleasing God. The things I was doing were leading me down a road of eventual despair and loneliness. So I had to submit myself to God. And so by submitting to God, by admitting for me the love of Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and turning my way from what I used to do and renewing my mind with the Word of God, and God began to heal my land, my family, my relationships, my children, gave me my helpmate, Tammy, and ministry partner for life. When through the grace of God and obedience to the Holy Spirit, I had the past 13 years, but increasingly been able to be a blessing and receive love and understanding love. My wife helped me so much with this concept of love, because I had seen so much in Newark, and I had seen so much in my upbringing. Not that my mother and father were great examples of love. They were married 40 years and never left each other. They were together through thick and thin, raised five of us. And even though I won't say they didn't have their mistakes and they had their issues, but they stayed together, and we all were able to grow up and see an example of what a marriage is, an example of what sacrifice and obedience to each other, even though we don't always understand each other, we don't always agree, but still that love superseded all of our personal wants, our personal agendas. I saw my father work his entire life until the day he died, being obedient because he loved his wife, he loved his children, sacrificing his own personal pleasures, personal maybe dreams and ideas for his family. So I knew what it was, but I wasn't ready to follow it. My mother, no matter what we did, me, my brothers, no matter what trouble we got into, my mother never stopped loving us. She prayed and she cared no matter what we went through. She never gave up. And eventually, a year before my mother was passed, my mother, I had an opportunity to speak and told my mother, she was saying that she had faith that sooner or later I would find the right way, that I would understand that her love superseded all of my attitudes about them trying to stop me from doing what I want to do and go where I want to go. But we don't always, just because we see an example in front of us, we don't always take the example that we see. So just to say, I have you, but to take time to show whomever God put in your way, put in your spirit of influence, just show them love. And sometimes it takes being uncomfortable. It takes taking some time out to go out of your way, to do what in your flesh, on your former self, you would not do. To love, not just in your words, but in your deeds. To go out of your way, to hug someone, to tell someone something they need to say, to forgive people, to forgive yourself. To, as God, as Jesus exampled, he made himself nothing so that people would see the love of God that comes from him. And if you say that you love God and you hate your neighbor, you hate the people around you, you have no patience, no understanding for people around you, I don't care whatever faith they consider themselves, that doesn't stop my love. That doesn't stop my understanding. That doesn't stop my care. That doesn't stop me from feeding someone, from seeing the need. Because empathy is so much more important than sympathy. You can sympathize and see something, oh man, that's really sad. But to empathize means to put yourself in their place, to know that you've came through so many other situations that God could have taken your life, but you're still here, that you've been through drug use and sin and lying and so many other things that are worthy of death, but you're still here. So God didn't leave you here just so you could exalt yourself. You're here for a reason. Have you been through some things? Have you been through some situations that you know, that you know, that you know that you should be dead? You could have been taken off the account. You could have been crippled, blind, with a fatal disease, and you're still here. God has shown you love. And it's only right that the love that's been given to you, you show to others. Because as I said before, you can only give what you have. And God gives liberally to all who desire it. The love that's been given to you by God, it's your obligation to give it to others. It's your obligation to show that love to whomever comes in your sphere. And I know that some people say, well, people hurt me and people always respond and give the love that you give back to them. That's not your, I know it's hard to say, but it's not your business. You just give it. If the person doesn't receive it, doesn't say you'd be a doormat, you stand and let them continually abuse you, use discernment, use understanding, and you walk away. You continue to pray for them. You don't hate them. You don't do the same thing they do. You don't curse and try to fight, because at one time we used our hands, we used our physical abilities to rectify situations, and it never does. It only brings more violence and more problems back to you. And so this walk that we choose to do, should you choose to accept it, of loving according to the way of the Bible, according to the way the word says love, if you do that, the blessings that come to you, you can't even number them all, because there's so many things that have come your way that you weren't aware of, that God took out of your way, that God saved you from, that God blessed you from. So the same love that you've been giving, those who have been given much want to give much. If you've been saved from a lot and you be honest with yourself, looking at your own past, looking at your own misdeeds from the past and knowing that what the price you could have paid now that you know the word of God, now that you surrender to God, that now that you understand that, how can you not give it to someone else? My question, I left out something, given the phone number to call in again was 657-338-0510. That was my mistake, and the sermon's about over. But my final question was, is there enough love in you to love the hell out of someone else? Hear me good. Is there enough love in you to love the hell out of someone else? God has blessed us to love the hell out of us with his patience, his love, his mercy. And with all that being said, if you're still here, you're still alive today, you have an obligation to do the same for someone else. There are people in your life that have taken their time and sacrificed that maybe you didn't even know, to know that sooner or later that you would surrender to the will of God and you would find the right way. So essentially, the hell was loved out of you. So make that your purpose today, to love the hell out of somebody else. When you hear the pain, you hear the anguish in people and the way they talk, help them. It's your obligation. I thank you. I bless you. Thank you for signing into Elam Ministries. This is Rev Kev signing off, and I bless you. I thank you that to all who listened, I pray that something you came away with today would help you. In Jesus' name, amen.